Unit 18. The Study of Literature. 18.2. Exercise 2.
Right, sit down, both of you. Now, Anna, you've prepared some questions for us to discuss today, haven't you?
Yes, I've been considering how literary translation should be approached.
Ah, yes, a very interesting area. Gary, could I just check whether this fits in with your current research?
Yeah, definitely. Funnily enough, I've been reading the French writer Emile Zola in translation recently.
Good.
Right. Well, my first question relates to the translator. Should a novel's translator have the original or the target language as their mother tongue?
And that's a good place to start. So, what's your view, Anna?
I should start by saying the obvious, that every translator needs to have a very good knowledge of the foreign language they're translating to or from. It's not enough to rely on even the largest of dictionaries, because they don't always help with literary nuance. For me, it's preferable for the translator to be a native speaker of the N translation's language, because then I think that work will read more naturally in its own right.
I take your point, Anna. But isn't there then a risk of the translator missing or misunderstanding something crucial in the source text?
I think that's always a danger with translations, whatever the nationality of the translator.
There are good and bad translations, after all.
Exactly. Another question I wanted to raise is this. Do novelists make better translators of fiction than other people?
That's another great question. Can you clarify why you're interested in this? Have you read any novels translated by other writers?
Yes. I was thinking of one particular series published in Italy, actually, which includes Calvino's translation of the French writer Queneau. The Argentinian writer Borges is translated in the same series.
OK, so based on this reading, how would you answer your question?
On the evidence of those titles, I'd say yes, writers have a real edge on other translators. In the one done by Calvino, for example, there seemed to be much more attention to the original writer's style, plus a genuine attempt to recreate it in the new language. And that's important, surely, but many translators seem to have a rather different agenda, in that they are trying above all to represent the content faithfully.
Gary, do you have anything to add here? Or another question to air, perhaps?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, I've never read a translation prepared by another author, so I can't really comment. Although it does seem logical for one writer to be able to translate the work of another more sympathetically. Moving on. In relation to the 19th century writing of Zola, where lots of translations of the same titles exist, I know there is a lot of debate in terms of how the speech of that time has been rendered in translation. Many of Zola's books featured Parisian slang of the period in a radical new way, and it appears that that is difficult to capture.
Impossible. I know that an English translation of one of his books resorted to London Cockney slang, which caused quite a storm on publication. But that has a totally false ring coming from the mouths of French characters, and it also seems rather dated nowadays.
But that's going to be a problem with any translation, isn't it? I mean, language changes all the time, so should you translate a 1950s novel into the language of today, or is that a crime in itself because it takes the work out of its historical context?
Literary translation is one big can of worms. I can say to you now that I have no intention of becoming a translator myself, ever. However, and this is my final question, isn't a compromise text better than having no text in translation at all? We can't learn every single language, so we will always need translations or be restricted to the literature written in our own language, which seems a very narrow way of approaching the subject to me.
Well done, both of you. Now, can you write up some of your ideas on this for me by next Wednesday? I'd like to go...